Hi there, this is Lon Solomon, and I'd like to welcome you to our program today. You know, it's a tremendous honor that God has given us to be on stations all around the nation, bringing the truth of God's Word as it is, uncompromising and straightforward. And I'm so glad you've tuned in to listen and be part of that. Thanks again for your support and your generosity that keeps us on the radio. And now, let's get to the Word of God. Today, I want to talk to you about the church, about our church, because this has been very much on my heart in recent days. So, are we ready? Okay to do that? All right, good. We're going to start in Matthew chapter 16. Here we go. The Bible says, now when Jesus came to Caesarea Philippi, let's show you a map. This is a city in northern Israel, north of the Sea of Galilee. He asked his disciples, who do people say that I, the Son of Man, am? And the disciples replied, well, some say you're John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Then Jesus said, yeah, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, simply means the son of Jonah, because flesh and blood, some person, your own human insight did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say to you that you are Peter, Petros, masculine gender in the Greek, because Peter's masculine, he's a man, and upon this rock. And the Greek here changes to the feminine gender, Petra. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, the reason Jesus changed genders here is because the feminine gender in Greek can be used not only of female things, but it also is used of concepts. It's also used of confessions. And so what Jesus is saying here is not, I will build my church on you, Peter, personally, but I will build my church on your confession that I am the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Do we all see that? Okay, now, this is the first time that the church is mentioned in the Bible, and Jesus says four very important things about the church. Number one here, he says the church belongs to him. I will build my church. Yes, sir. Friends, the church doesn't belong to me. The church doesn't belong to the elders of this church. The church doesn't belong to the congregation of this church. The church belongs to Jesus Christ. This is his church. Amen? Amen. Number two, Jesus said that the foundation of the church will be Peter's confession of the deity and the messiahship of Christ. Now, if you see a building somewhere that has a sign on the outside that says church, and then you walk inside and find out that Jesus is not worshiped there as God in the flesh and the Messiah of Israel, you tell them they need to change the sign on the outside of that building, because whatever that building is, it is not a church. Number three. Amen. Amen. Number three. All right. The third thing Jesus says here is that in the New Testament age, the church is God's chosen instrument to impact the world for Christ. This is why the apostles in Jerusalem established a church. This is why the apostle Paul, everywhere he went, established churches. This is why the church appears in the first book of the New Testament, where we are, Matthew. It appears in the last book of the New Testament, the book of Revelation, and it appears in every single book in between. It is the chosen vehicle of God in this age to impact the world for Christ. And number four, Jesus says that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, that is, against his church. Now, Jesus made this promise of spiritual impregnability only to certain kinds of churches, only to his churches, only to biblical churches. And so I want to take a moment and I want us to talk about exactly what is a biblical church, exactly what is the kind of church that Jesus would be proud and happy to claim as his church. So, we good on that? All right. Five things that characterize a biblical church. Here we go. A biblical church, number one, is a church that is mighty in prayer. In Acts chapter 2, the first church in Jerusalem, the early church, it says, and they devoted themselves continually to what? Prayer, right. E.M. Bounds says, prayer is the engine that drives everything. It's where the power for God's work here on earth comes from. A prayerless church is a powerless church. And this is why the word prayer is mentioned 104 times in the New Testament alone. Now, I know at this church that we have some wonderful prayer warriors, individual people who pray, and that's important. But friends, it is also very important that as a church family, we get together and pray. We get together and humble ourselves before God and pray down the power of God onto this church and onto this city. And that's why we have prayer gatherings at every campus, at every service. And this is what Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the great English preacher, used to have a prayer meeting like this before his services. And he used to refer to it as the boiler room of the church because he said this prayer meeting is what generated the power for everything else in that church. And so I want you to look on the screen right now. And as your pastor, I'm asking you to please, at whatever campus you are, notice where those prayer meetings are and be there and help make McLean Bible Church a more powerful, biblical, praying church. Praise God. Number two. A biblical church is a church, second of all, that is mighty in the Word of God. 1 Timothy 4, Paul wrote to Timothy and said, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching from it. He wrote Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and said, preach the Word. But friends, it's not good enough for a church just to preach the word one time a week on the weekend. A biblical church is a church where people are in the Word of God all week long. And that's why we work so hard here to provide the opportunities so that you can be in the Word of God all week long, whether it's in community groups or small groups or Bible studies, or in community Bible study, or in Bible study fellowship, or in precept ministries. It's why you can go online, and you should do this. And we have all kinds of wonderful Bible teaching courses online that you can take right in your home in the evening when you get home from work. You should do that. This is why we have an app that's called Beyond Sundays, where you put it onto your mobile device and we will send you verses of scripture all day long, every single day. We have over 4,000, 4,000 to 5,000 people, praise God, who are on this app. Yeah? Praise the Lord. Ah, but we want you on it. We want you on it if you're not. Hey, can you imagine you're sitting in a business meeting at work and something's going on that has you so frustrated you don't know what to do and you're about to rip somebody's head right off and suddenly your phone goes, bing, and a verse pops up. Be kind to one another. Tenderhearted, Ephesians 4:32. Forgiving one another as the Lord forgave you. You think that'll change your behavior in that business meeting? You betcha. You betcha. And this is the idea that we're feeding the Bible into your life every day, all day long. Get that app and get into the Word. It's the Word, the Word, the Word. Biblical churches are churches that are dominated by the Word of God. Number three, biblical churches, number three, are churches that are mighty in evangelism. Acts chapter 6, the early church in Jerusalem, it says, and the Word of God kept spreading, and the number of disciples in Jerusalem continued to increase greatly, and even a great many of the Jewish priests were becoming obedient to the faith. Hey, when Jesus said, go reach your city for me, here's a church that took him seriously. And what were they telling the whole city of Jerusalem about Jesus? Well, they were telling the city, Acts 4:12, that salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men, pretty well covers it, by which we can be saved. This is the message that biblical churches tell people, wax on, wax off, end of story. And if you're here today and you're trusting something else other than Jesus Christ, Him alone, and what He did on the cross for you, shedding His blood to pay for your sin, if you're trusting anything else than that to get you into heaven and make you right with God, read the verse. The verse says there is no one else, there is no other name under heaven given among men. Folks, read the verse and listen. And I beg you today that you need to abandon all these other remedies. I don't care what they are. Good works, religious activity, being a nice person, recycling, singing in the choir. I don't care what it is. None of that's going to work. Only personal trust in what Christ did for you on the cross plus nothing is going to work. And you can sit right where you're sitting today, and you can do this. You can just bow your head and just say, Jesus, I abandon all that other stuff, and I embrace you. Or you can come down front at any of our campuses after the service is over, and people will be happy to talk with you and pray with you. But I urge you, do not leave this place today until your hope for eternity is in alignment when Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Yeah. Number four. A biblical church, number four, is a church that is mighty in disciple building. Jesus said, Matthew 28:19, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. And look here. Disciple building is not so much something that a church does as much as it is a culture that a church creates where everything going on at that church is aimed at driving people deeper and deeper and deeper in their walk with God. I got a letter just a week ago from a young lady, and here's what she said, and I quote. She said, "I grew up Catholic and have believed in Jesus since before I can remember. My parents sent me to Catholic schools for elementary, middle, and high school, and we learned religion every day. Yet despite 19 years of regular church attendance and religion in school, my faith has never grown as much as it did during my 7 years attending McLean." End of quote. This is what's supposed to happen at biblical churches. And finally, number five, a biblical church is a church that is mighty in serving the Lord. Romans 12:11 says, as believers, we are to be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. This is not a suggestion from God. This is what God wants from every single believer. Year before last, I was serving one day in Soaring Over 7 summer camp. For those of you who may not know what that is, it's a day camp that we run during the month of July for children with disabilities because they're out of school, they don't have any place to go, and we take care of them during the day and provide, you know, a fun place for them to go. So I was serving in one of the classrooms with a bunch of other adults and children. And one of the people in there was a high schooler, a young lady, and I was just making conversation, and I said, how did you end up serving here in Soaring Over 7 camp? She said, when we came to McLean Bible Church 2 or 3 years ago, my mom said, wherever we attend church, we serve. So my mom said to me, I don't care where it is, but you find a place and you serve there. And so she said, I picked Access Ministry and I work every weekend with the children with disabilities. And then I'll serve in Soaring Over 7 summer camp in the summer. And I was listening to this and I thought to myself, God bless that mother. God bless that mother. Teaching her daughter what the Bible says, that first we get saved and then we start serving. This is what happens in biblical churches. This is what people do in biblical churches because they understand what a high and holy privilege it is to serve the living God of the universe. And if you're here at our Tysons campus and you're not already serving God in some capacity, you go over to our Connect Room right across the lobby. And if you're at one of our campuses, you go to the front desk and you just walk in there, walk up to them and say, I need to find a place to serve. Can you help me? And we will take it from there. All right? Now, can we summarize? Good. Good. All right. A biblical church, number one, is a church that is mighty in prayer. Number two, it is a church mighty in the Word of God. Number three, it is a church mighty in evangelism. Number four, it is a church mighty in disciple building. And it is a church, number five, mighty in serving the Lord. These are the kind of churches, Jesus said, that the gates of hell shall not prevail against. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, that's as far as we're going to go in Matthew chapter 16, because it's time for us to ask our most important question. So, you ready? Everybody ready? All right. You guys at the campuses, you ready? Yeah, okay, thank you. All right, here we go. One, two, three. Yeah. You say, all right, Lon, I understand this. I appreciate this. So what? Well, folks, in light of all that we've said about the biblical church, And after much prayer and much discussion with our elders and with our senior staff, I have come to a conclusion over the last year. And I want to tell you what it is. My conclusion is that we at McLean Bible Church need to be far more active in helping to establish biblical churches throughout the Washington area. I'm not talking about campuses now. I'm talking about autonomous churches with their own elder board and their own pastor, but they are biblical churches the way we just described. And the way to do this is twofold. Number one, by revitalizing existing churches that really want to be biblical churches, partnering with them and helping them to do that. Or if no such church exists in a neighborhood, in an area, in an ethnic group, then by planting new churches there. It's a both and approach, partnering and planting. Yeah, you understand what I'm saying? Okay. And I got to tell you, this commitment to church planting represents a change of heart for me, but I believe it's the right change. And let me tell you why. Number one, I believe it's the right change because I believe in the life-changing power that a biblical church brings to a community. Second of all, it's the right change in my heart because I believe, just like the Apostle Paul did, that the best way to change a culture, change a neighborhood, change a city even, is to plant a new culture inside of it, namely a biblical church. Now look, there's nothing wrong with going into a neighborhood or a culture with Turkey Outreach. There's nothing wrong with going into a neighborhood with a once-a-week soup kitchen. These are all wonderful things. But if we want to really bring permanent, lasting, transformational change to a neighborhood or to an ethnic group, the way we do that is not by making an occasional foray into the group. It's by planting a biblical church in that group. Amen? That's how we reclaim families. That's how we reclaim lives. That's how we rescue people from the grip of the enemy and bring them to love Christ. That's how we clean things up. You put a church in that city. You put a church in that neighborhood. You put a church on that street corner, not just any church, but you put a biblical church into that community. That's what Paul did, and that's what we need to do. And that's what I want to ask you to do this December. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, you know whenever we talk about money, it's always a sensitive topic. And indeed, we've talked about money today, but not really money, Lord. What we've really talked about is the glory of Christ in this town and the salvation of people's lives in this town and the transformation of unrighteousness in this town. So, oh Jesus, help us to remember it's not about money. It's about the glory of Christ. And I pray, Lord, that you would touch each of our hearts, that we would step up and with a willing heart say, well, Lord, fine. Help us, Lord Jesus, to hear your voice clearly. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.
You've been listening to So What with Dr. Lon Solomon. So What is an outreach of Lon Solomon Ministries. To listen to today's message or for more information, visit our website, lonsolomonministries.org. Thank you for your support. If you would like to contact us, please visit our website or call us at 866-788-7770. We hope you will join us next time when Lon seeks to answer one of life's most important questions, so what?